In Genesis 2:18, then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This afternoon I just made a comment to my wife that I really wish there were some other person on this earth who had the responsibility that I have right now, because if there were anyone else, I would relinquish it in a moment. When I realize that there is virtually nothing known about what we're talking about, it's not known to the Christian family, and yet there is so much there, and I wonder what I'm overlooking. I'm wondering what I'm not seeing. I see so much, but I know I don't see everything. So I have a word. And that word is, brothers, sisters, part of the responsibility falls on you to do two things: to see and to experience. I believe I will review. There was God, and there was nothing else. And he was alive, and he was the only alive there was, so he was life. And everything else that ever looked has been created by him is nothing but a reflection or a picture of that life. He was light. And that means that any knowledge and any light that you and I ever have will be the experience of Christ, or it will be something less than true light. He was God was light, life. He was light, and he was reality. And anything that is reality is God, and anything that is not reality is not God. Now, something provoked God to his eternal purpose. There was some reason why God wished to have a creation. Before he created, there was just God. Brothers and sisters, something provoked him to move, to be. What was it? To express. What was it? Someone said love. Someone said dilemma. Someone said something else. All right. I don't know what provoked God to do what he did. But I think I think it was a combination of these three things.
That he was so utterly alone. That he was so full of love.
And that those two things were a paradox to one another. An insolvable paradox. There was one other thing that God was. God was love. I don't think I can explain that to you. Because God was also spirit. He was invisible. If you had stood there in nowhere and looked at him, you would not have seen him. Unless you had seen light. He was a spirit. Now then, brothers, the body has feeling, the soul has emotion, and the spirit has assent. But of the body and of the soul and of the spirit, which is stronger? We have to say the spirit is stronger, but why would we say the spirit is strong? Because it's real. Praise the Lord. Okay, brother. But we say it's real. There's another reason. It has divine life. Is the body that is something that is God? No, it's a creation of God. Is the soul something of God? No, it is a creation of God. But when you get to the spirit, what have you come to? You've come to God. And behind that spirit is power. An almost endless, indefinable power. Far greater than any power you could find in the body or the soul, there is the power that's in the spirit. Where was God's love located? It was located. Where is it located? In his spirit. All right, brothers, I would like for you to see that love. Do you have any idea what that love is like? Yes or no? Yeah. You have some idea of what that love is like. Do you know what love is? Well, you say, I have pipe loved. But you have loved. Do you know that? Do you know that feeling? Do you know that power? It's a tremendous power. I would like for you to see God, who is love. And behind that great, inscribable love is a driving force. The driving force of the unlimited power of God. Which is greater, the love or the power? They're equal. The power drives the law. But then you have to say, if that be true, then there is nothing as powerful as God's law. God's love, therefore, is the greater. Because it is the thing being driven. There is love in the bosom and the being and the center of God. When I was a little boy, I wondered who created God. When I was a little bitty boy, I had a discussion with another little boy in the neighborhood about where God came from. And he began telling me that he figured that it was this, and then these people, and this, and then God. That's how God began. Then I said, we still got the same problem. Where'd they come from? There has to be an ultimate. In science, there's something called the first motion. There's got to be a first. That is God. Now, I cannot comprehend. There's one thing the human mind cannot comprehend. It cannot comprehend eternity because it is captured utterly in time. But though God did not begin by his nature, he was a bachelor. I'll put it another way. By nature, he wasn't a bachelor. He was alone. He was single. If you could talk about the universe before there was a universe, you would have to say, in the universe, there was only the singular. And there was only one singular. And that was God. Then, God had an idea. So unique and so revolutionary. And that idea was
God wanted another God. All of the Old Testament speaks and covets and guards that precious thought that God is one. And that there is only one God. And I don't believe the Lord considers me blaspheming in what I'm saying. Brothers, God had the idea of a counterpart. Sisters know what I once said. When God decided that there would be another God, did he decide he would make another he? That was the uniqueness of his idea. God was alone, but he was love. And in that love was passion, or in that passion was love. And there was no place for it to go and nowhere for it to be expressed. God thought up a counterpart. The sisters heard me say it. God was a Mrs. God. Brothers, do you want a Mrs. You? Do you? You brothers who are married, did you once want a Mrs. You? You brothers who are not married, do you want a Mrs. You? Absolutely. And I am checked it out, clearly. I've run medical tests. There is not a brother in the church in Isla Vista who has the gift of not wanting a misery. I have positive proof from all the brothers. Is that a strong desire? Do you have any stronger things? Do you know an emotion or a passion greater than that? It would be difficult to say that there is one so much greater. Where did you get
such a feeling?
Because we are really unique if we're saved, brother. We are as unique as Jesus Christ is unique. Because he is neither God nor man. And that's what we are. Neither God nor man. We have a unique situation.
Great.
We really have a unique situation. I think some of you maybe grasp what I am just saying. Okay. God stood there in his aloneness. I want to come back to that. Brothers, can you for a moment feel in God what must have been within him, driving him? For
Brothers, as God considered what it would take to have what he wanted,
it was not an easy thing.
For God is singular by nature. Fallen man later conceived of many, many, many gods. There is only one God. In fact, there will never be but one God.
And yet, he wants a counterpart. That, too, is a paradox. To have an Isha, a Theia.
Do you know that the word Theo means God? It is a masculine term.
The word Ish is the word for man. The word Usha isn't feminine. It's of man. Out of man. Theo is always masculine. But I've invented a term tonight.
Theia.
It was not as though God, who was spirit and one and who was all, could easily have a counterpart. If you are all, there is not room for another.
God had to do an incredible thing. And one day the Lord's going to sit down and explain this to me. But in his consideration,
there are two or three things I know he realized. For there to be a counterpart to God,
his nature would have to be altered.
He would have to become, he would have to change, and he would have to become from that which is limitless to that which is limitable. From that which is unlimited to that which is limited.
In order to be divisible.
But some way he would have to have that which was visible with limits to it. If it's unlimited, it's not visible, but limited. But more than that, brothers, somewhere embedded in all of this
is the fall.
Something I cannot comprehend, but God knew if he was to have a counterpart
who truly was his counterpart, it would have to be an incredible attention getting to his being and nature.
An unfathomable fathoming of his nature.
Oh, Gene, be careful. The brothers and sisters are going to think you're just way out in left field.
Something was going to have to see him and understand him in his length and breadth and entirety.
He would have to be known, felt, experienced in his totality.
Okay, God began to create, and he divided creation into two parts.
The upper and the lower. The unseen and the seen.
Burris, I want you to know that the unseen is very vast, but if it ends over there and ends over there, if heavens, the third heaven, the heavens, if they have an end, and I don't know if they do, if the heavens have an end,
I want you to know that in the heavens is God. And God is over there, and God is over there.
And he's all the way in between. He fills the heavens entirely. Do you want to know what's in heaven?
God. Which part of heaven is he located in?
All of it.
And it's an invisible kingdom. It's an invisible place. You can't see it. If you stood in the middle of it, you wouldn't see it. There's only one thing today, 1973, that is visible in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Don't say it.
There is one thing now visible in the heaven. God covered it all. The only other being in the heavens, ribbing being, was what?
There are two beings in the heavens.
Okay, where are the angels in the heaven?
Luke 1:19.
What fills the heavens, brothers? Where are the angels? Yes, brother, that's where they are.
And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God.
If God is there, and there, and there, and the angels are also there, where can they go and not be where God is?
They are in him, but they are separate from him. They walk around in him. They are always in his presence.
Can you fathom that? The angels walk around in the presence of God.
That's all that's there, is God and angel. And they stand in his glory wherever they stand.
So there are now two living creatures, God and angels.
God is one. There are many angels, but they are neuter. Is God neuter?
No. He is male.
The angels are neuter.
They were neuter then, they are neuter now, they will ever be neuter.
They have no gender. Then God began creating.
And he created the seeable things. They are also part of the heavens. There's the unseen part of heaven where the angels are, and there's the seen part of the heaven. Seen creation is also the heaven. They are everything that is not earth. Brothers, if it's not earth, it's heaven. It's either seen heaven or unseen heaven.
Brothers, now God comes to create earth.
And this is a special place. And he begins creating it, and on the first day there's nothing living. On the second day there's nothing living. And on the third day there is something living. And it can show you two things. One, it is alive. Two, it reproduces. Now that's incredible. For nothing else in the universe could reproduce. God could not reproduce. Angels could not reproduce. But here were living things that could reproduce.
Now, I've said this to you many times. Earth and all that's on it.
Everything on this earth, some way, reflects the nature of God.
But Gene, God is single.
Well, pray for the Lord. He's not going to be single forever.
And it can reflect his nature, even though that nature has not yet arrived.
All right, after the little vegetables that showed life but were not life, it came the fish, who also showed God's life but were not God's life. Now there is an incredible thing.
Everything in the sea had its counterpart.
In Genesis 1, almost a cry. And the earth brought forth vegetables, plants yielding seeds after their kind.
and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them. No, with seed in them after their kind.
God saw it. And he said, that's cool. You can almost feel the anxiety and eagerness in God.
He says it again. This is verse 21. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that move, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind.
And God saw them. This was good. God had had an idea, and it turned out to be a good idea.
Everything had its seed in it, and everything could reproduce after its kind. And all of it was a picture of God's desire. God. Well, brothers, then he made the creeping things, and I'll read that too.
The beast of the field after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind.
And God saw that it was good. And then God said, make a creature
that look
like.
He now comes to create the third highest form in the universe. It is not God. It is not angels. But it is one captive to Earth's soil.
Brothers, I would like to distress this again. Redbert, man, fought out.
But he is laying there lifeless. He is, if you please, something like mud.
Brothers, I would like for you to watch God. It is as though he picked up a mirror.
And he took out of himself anger and put in. Took out of himself hate and put in it. He took out of himself jealousy and put in it. He took out of himself joy. Put that part, or the image of that part, into this creature. He took out of himself peace and put the type of peace into that creature. This thing was a reflection of the very God. Here, brothers, if you will follow me in a deep way, here is what is meant by the term Son of God. If God takes his jealousy and his anger and his hate and his joy and his peace and his love out of himself,
turn it around. If God ever gave birth to all that is within him,
that which would be born would be called what? What was Adam? Have you ever read the Matthew account? No, the Luke account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it starts with Mary It does. It starts with Mary and works back through David and Abraham and Noah, and finally to whom?
It says, and Seth, who was the son of Adam, and Adam, who was a son of God. If everything that creature is an embodiment of another, if that creature ever gave birth, if that creature ever took all of its essence and put in another, it would be a son of that one, a son of God. You don't understand what I'm saying. I haven't made it yet. I've done this so many times, but tonight it's more important than ever. You remember Barnabas was always going around encouraging people. If encouragement were a god, and all that encouragement God, this God encouragement could do was encourage. And that was it. And encouragement across the whole human race was nothing but the God encouragement in them. You see? No. If that God, name encouragement, ever gave birth to a son, it was Barnabas. Barnabas was just the reincarnation of encouragement. He just went around encouraging people.
Look at Adam. He is so much like God. He reflects God so much. If God ever gave birth to a son, he would be like Adam. I want you to know that everything that God ever felt or sensed was miniaturized and pictured in Ish, in Adam. And God went. Take him up. There are two creatures in heaven. Neither one of them can reproduce. One's a neuter, the other one's a he. They're both invisible. Starting on the lowest form of life, going up, everything can reproduce. And starting with that which moves and has consciousness, all of it has a counterpart. First, I tell you, there is a feeling you get that every one of them are better off than the three highest life forms. Can you sense that with me? How would you brothers like to be left on this planet with nothing but men? Consider that. There is in the very basic nature of your being a power. I want you to know I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the whole planet. It will populate by nothing but men. Brothers, I'll tell you quite frankly, I'm not interested in you. What will we do?
Yeah. We were one gender. This would be the most boring spot in the universe. There is no interest on this earth without a counterpart. The woman is literally the spice of all of God's creation. Can you understand what I'm saying? Can you in any way, the brothers know what I'm talking about. I'm not interested in seeing a whole earth full of like me's. I'm sorry, you just don't interest me. All of God's creation had a counterpart, one in which there was total identification, in which the two, just by looking at one another, there is a satisfaction, by knowing that there is my counterpart. The three highest forms in the universe had not.
The angels never had, never will have. They have no need of a counterpart.
But there were two creatures now upon this planet that pulsated with an insatiable passion. And they were both
one was in the heavens, invisible. One was on the earth, visible. You have all heard, have you not, about the problem of the vanishing species? That there are species on the earth today that are vanishing? I don't know if you realize, but brothers, when God put man upon this earth, he was a vanishing species. He could not look at man and say, his seed after his kind. He could not look on man and say, this is good. He was a vanishing species. He was not like an angel. An angel cannot end. He was not like God, who has neither beginning nor ending. Man was unique in that he had a beginning and an ending, and he was unlike any other creature in all the universe. He had no reproduction, and he had no counterpart. He was of all creation most alone.
I mean, there was an allusion to him.
You cannot.
I believe in some way he was more alone than God.
I mentioned last night about that astronaut who was on the other side of the moon, if he could have drilled a hole through the moon. His closest companion would have been 6,000 miles away, around the moon, 13 or 14,000 from the nearest next person. He was more alone than any man since Adam, but not as alone as Adam. For Adam could have walked this planet and never once seen anything that even vaguely looked like him. Brothers, it wasn't the need of seeing something else like him. It was that God put inside of him the innate longing and desire for a counterpart, and also put within him a love for one that didn't exist. And he had a love that had no place to go.
Can you consider one who had the love with no place to go?
I mentioned the conversation last night between God and man. And God explained to man that because he was in God's image, this was no simple thing.
Adam, look at me. I am one, and I am a he, and you're one, and you're a he.
Adam must have looked around and said, but God, everything else you've created is two, and none of them have the drive that I have got. None of them long like I long for a counterpart. God must have looked at him and said, Adam, drink deep of that feeling, for I have felt that way for all of eternity.
God said,
Adam, I'll put you to sleep, and I'll take you out of you,
I cannot create out of the dirt. I'll only be able to take you out of you.
Then Adam said, whatever it takes, do it.
He caused a deep sleep. I don't know if there was any terror in that, but probably unfallen man never slept.
God put him into a deep sleep. How long it took, I don't know. It was no small thing. Brothers, would you see him? And God opened his side. And what did he pull out?
She pulled out
jealousy,
hate,
joy.
A passion to be loved.
And tall.
He made, if you please, he didn't make, I don't know what you call it.
He made another image. An image in the image of that image, which was the image of that image. Woman in the image of man, who was in the image of God.
And he formed. And by the way, as far as I'm concerned, he did a better job on his second try than he did on his first.
I say that with all sincerity because God made me that way. I cannot be but that way. That's how he made me. He made me for a counterpart long before he made the counterpart. He had said for that living man one day,
I beheld the vegetable.
It is good. I beheld the fish of the ocean.
It is good.
I beheld the beast of the field. It is good.
I have beheld you.
It is good. Is not good.
Possible
for him to be so creation.
Adam, God could not put his blessing on and say, it is God. Rather, he said something negative. It is not good.
It should be unlike the others. It is not good you be alone. Chris, it was not good that you be alone.
It was not a good thing.
It is good that you be with someone.
It is not good for the very way that God made you to be alone. You were made in the image of God, and you pulsate with a reflection of his love. You pulsate with the love of the soul, not as powerful as the love of the spirit, but nonetheless a powerful thing.
God raised that woman up out of Adam. Listen, don't forget this, because later it will be very important.
For a moment, for one twinkling of a moment, she was alive and conscious, and he was not.
What were her feelings? What were her feelings?
Tell me.
Praise the Lord. Oh, for just one short moment, she must have felt the same thing Adam had felt for so long.
She felt something like what God had felt. She felt the need of a counterpart. She felt love, and it had no place to go. It had no place to go.
This must have been a great, happy moment for the Lord to look at that girl and see the joy on her face and the emotion of her being and the desire to be loved.
Thank you. For there was something in the image of his image. I'll tell you, brother, I believe God never recovered from that thing.
He went over and woke up Adam.
Hey, you talk about a love story.
I told you last night, night before last, if it had been me, what I would have done. I don't know of what race Adam belonged. I hope he was French.
If I had roamed the whole planet alone with the very reflection of the power of the passion of the love of God in me, and I would have glimpsed finally one like me, yet not a man. I'll tell you, it's been a man. I have been shot. Give me back my wrist.
Well, those of you who
I would not have cared one tooth. Oh my God, what another man. I can
till this soil off.
Let's sit down and talk about sports. There's no food.
I know, laugh, but don't take me lightly.
He looked at her. And though she was like him, she was not him. She was a counterpart. Brothers, God had drawn her out of him. And God had literally taken the whole image of God out of Adam. And now here was everything that God had felt that had been put in Adam was now in the woman. And they could feel the same things and meet the same need. And finally there was a place for Adam to love. There's a place for love to come.
And Eve felt the same way.
There was a place for love to return. It was a glorious moment. All the long to Adam
were fulfilled. Here at last was one like him. Finally, in the universe, there was one whom he could love, and one who had loved back.
One of the brothers called me on the phone yesterday and said,
I read the Genesis account in the interlinear Hebrew text, and he told me what the words were. I did not know this. I'll tell you what. I'll let him tell you.
Very. Come talk.
Raise your arm.
Okay. And he worked better.
Oh. This now at last is done my dog. Is the, because the word means now at last. The expression of that finally this is bone of my bone.
Praise the Lord.
It is not. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But Adam looked and said,
"Oh, final bone, not giraffes, not." Something was released at last in man that is still pent up in God.
There are now only two creatures left in the universe. Two.
Who have no counterpart.
Who are they?
God and angel.
Angels, you belong in the presence of the Most High God. You belong in heaven.
Where does God belong?
Where is his abode? You don't know? What is God?
Spirit.
What is man?
Soul.
Praise the Lord. God's a living spirit, man's a living soul. God's the spirit.
God had reached into Adam and pulled off
all that Adam was, put it in Eve, that built in the counterpart.
But he pulled it out of his soul and his temp, which is his body. Is man's soul God's spirit? No. Is man's soul like God's?
Yes or no?
Very much like God's spirit.
That's why you have a hard time deciding between your soul and your spirit, brother. One's an image, the other's the reality. Sometimes I thank the Lord that my soul is fallen.
Then I need a spirit. If it were not fallen, maybe I could get by on a soul. I thank the Lord I have to have a spirit.
Brothers, there's a distinction between my fallen soul and God's living spirit.
That's off the subject. Brothers, I have two beings I would like to present to you.
One of them is called man. The other one is called God.
If God is to ever see his need met,
what must he do?
man needs to reach over and get something out of God. What does he mean?
Say it.
He needs God's...
Say it.
Everybody.
Spirit.
Why does he need God? Woman was not enough for man. Woman was not enough for man. He still had a longing.
He didn't know. There's a longing in man, and man for 6,000 years have written books and gone out great philosophies to say what it is. Some say education, some say entertainment, some say what is it?
God did not just create man to be man's image. He created him to do something else. To one day house the eternal God. To limit him, if you please. Now, erase that for a moment.
Are the fish satisfied?
Are the cows satisfied? Are the birds satisfied? You never saw a bird complain in your life. You never saw a cow complain unless it was hungry. You never saw a dog complain unless he was hungry or sick or you weren't playing with.
Perfectly satisfied. Brothers, there is now only one creature in the universe
who is not satisfied. Who is it?
It is God.
It is God. Now, listen.
What is God? Tell me.
And he is life, light, reality.
And he is love. And God still has no place to go.
Did you feel the longing inside of Adam a few moments ago when he walked this earth? Well, why? Did you sense his joy when he saw Isha? Knowing that finally he was complete with her. And there was finally one to whom he could pour out his love.
I'm not even sure in that moment he cared if love was returned. But I'll tell you this by her makeup, brothers. When he poured her love, his love out on her, what did it do?
It wakened her love, and she poured it out on him. Right? But where did she get that love from?
Right there. It had come from him. It was part of it.
And by his loving her, it had awakened that same love she got bumbled. Now in her, and it had to be expressed from her toward him.
Did she force herself to love Ish?
No, it was a response to his love.
And yet I'll tell you, the very love she gave him was his love.
Now there is only one being wrapped in the universe
. Brothers, I'm going to tell you something awesome.
The vegetables, are they good?
The birds, are they good? The animals, are they good?
The angels, are they good?
Yes, brother. God's satisfied with it.
Can he now look at man with woman and say,
it is good?
Yes!
Brothers, I want to unfold to you right now in 2 minutes the most incredible love story of all time. And all eternity in the last page has not been written. And I cannot tell you the outcome.
God wanted to love.
He wanted a counterpart. And the only way he could, he was spirit, and in his spirit was love, and it was the driving love. It drove him to creation. It was a driving force that had to be unleashed. So driving that God was willing to cease to be God,
to express it.
And it was all in his spirit, and it was passionate. And that great when you realize it's the infinite God behind that law.
Now, dead
counterpart. He has had to take upon himself the form of man.
Now I want you to see this. Imagine mankind. Can you see mankind?
Can you see mankind? See the totality of mankind.
See God walk up to mankind. Brothers, I will show you the most incredible thing you have ever beheld. Watch the Spirit, the God. Keep in mind what Adam was as God put himself in the Adam. Adam was a son of God. Watch God go up to man.
Pour out of man.
Will. Mind. Watch God reach into mankind and pull out joy. Watch him reach into mankind and pull out loneliness. Watch him reach into man and pull out sorrow.
Watch God reach into man and pull out the passion of human love and put on him. Until the living God is clothed in the essence of man. And God says, I am the Son of Man.
Did you understand?
I am now
the essential, the very essence, the reason.
Weathers, please listen to what I've got to say.
Dying was the Son of Man.
He was no longer spirit, but mingled into that spirit which was divine. I tell you, brothers, there is now a human body with all its need. He has put upon himself the form of perfect man, and he has put within him the soul with the soul's jealousy, with the soul's hate, with the soul's joy, and with the soul's desire and need of love and the passion to express love. And now he is no longer an infinite God burning with a passion of divine love in the spirit. He is even there. He is also man, mingled with God, with also the passions of man, needing to be expressed to one who is his counterpart. The passion of the love of God has been intensified. Now you have got to say, Jesus, Lord Jesus, that you be all. For he has utterly become man. And it is not good that man be alone. Brothers, I get you. I get you. I give you my God. I give you my Lord. I give you my Christ. He came to seeking a bride. He was willing to take upon him for human form and even greater tribe. He now has both divine and human love burning to be expressed and poured out on a life. Who will let him love him? Who will let him pour out his yet cease to be all. All time, all eternity, and now time. And he's still alone. Won't someone come forth and agree to accept the passion of love? Sisters, will someone come forth and say, oh Lord, pour out that passion of that love on me? Brother, to say to the Lord, is a counterpart, a place where you can love.
Hold the look.
Oh, my Lord, open the eyes of us all.
For if God took man's soul, Lord, we took your spirit. Oh, my God, awaken law. It is time that such a one as you had a bride who would just be one. My Lord, awaken law.
Awaken law.
Deep within the wellsprings of our being,
show us where we receive the divine love of God. Deep within our soul, show us where to receive the love of our Lord, our Guru. Find the people. Find the people.
Jesus, your spirit has full sway in our lives now.